Few things are as heartbreaking as a life that squanders its full potential. Here's Skip Heitzig.
A tragic admission, a banner that you could place over his life. He played the fool and erred exceedingly. In fact, that's a banner statement that you could put over lots of lives. They start well. There's so much potential, so much giftedness. But for some reason, the person squanders what God has entrusted, what God has given, what God wanted to do through that person. But through whatever reason, they would have to say, I've played the fool and I have erred exceedingly. Unfortunately, I've known too many like that.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the word of God and find the way into his love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
Late last year, Tiger Woods, one of the most well-known sports figures in the world, became yet another in a long list of superstar and athletic role models who were caught doing something that was less than model behavior. With so many young, impressionable people looking to these stars, it's always tragic when they fail to live up to their potential as a good example. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig continues our study of the rise and fall of another role model, one that should have led a nation, but like so many others, crumbled under the pressure and destroyed their potential of being someone people could look up to. We'll get started here in just a moment, but first, if you've ever wanted to know how you can leave your mark for Christ in this world, you may want to order a copy of Skip's book, Godprint. Here's all the details.
There are over 6 billion people in the world, and yet we all have a unique fingerprint. Now consider this. There are so many people that need to hear about Jesus Christ, and each of us have a personality and calling that will help make that happen, but only if we are faithful and obedient. So, what sort of mark will you leave on this world? Will it be a life of self-indulgence or a path of selfless service? That's a choice only you can make, and be sure your decision will leave its mark, either wood, hay, and stubble, or a priceless life of serving Jesus Christ. In Skip Heitzig's new book, Godprint, discover how God used a single man named Abraham to change the world forever, and how he can do the similar work through each and every one of us. Plus, when you order Godprint, we'll also send you The Royal Road of Love, featuring a special CD teaching plus 2 original songs by Skip Heitzig.
There is no subject so universally treated, written about, sung about, than love. You couldn't count all the love songs that have been written. Love songs to girlfriends, to boyfriends, to husbands, to wives, to pets. Why? Simply because we all crave love. We all want to know that we are genuinely, unconditionally loved. We want love more than anything, and we will do anything to get it.
Get these resources for just $25 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. The impression God left on this world through Abraham resonates to this day. What sort of impression might he make through you? Learn how to make your mark for Christ in the new book, Godprint, by Skip Heitzig. Order today and we'll also send you The Royal Road of Love, featuring a message and original songs from Skip Heitzig. Both the book and the CD set are just $25. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
Well, Godprint is just one of many resources available to you right now at the Connection website. That's connectionradio.org. Or you can write us anytime here at the Connection. We love to get cards and letters from you and prayer requests and praise reports. Drop us a line at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. You know, superstars stumble so often these days that we almost expect so-called role models to be too good to be true, right? Well, that wasn't only a problem in our tabloid-driven world. Israel faced some similar issues with one of their early superstars as well. Only this superstar happened to be a king.
And make the
We'll continue today through the first 15 chapters of 1 Samuel. So if you'll open your Bibles, we'll get that study started with Skip Heitzig.
Now, chapters 9 through 15 is the sad leadership of King Saul. He started well. He could have ended well, but he didn't. He didn't. You know what he said? At the end of his life, maybe in a moment of weakness, maybe just in a moment of being vulnerable and uttering something. Chapter 26, verse 21, is what he said. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. 9 words that form his autobiography. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. And he did indeed. A tragic admission, a banner that you could place over his life. He played the fool and erred exceedingly. In fact, that's a banner statement that you could put over lots of lives. They start well. There's so much potential, so much giftedness, but for some reason, the person squanders what God has entrusted, what God has given, what God wanted to do through that person. But through whatever reason, they would have to say, I've played the fool and I have erred exceedingly. Unfortunately, I've known too many like that. Verse 1, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorat, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. Now, Kish is Saul's dad. So we understand that Saul has a good heritage. He comes from the tribe of Benjamin. Who is Benjamin? The favored son of Jacob by his favorite wife, Rachel. Kish was a mighty man, it says, of power, or an important guy. Verse 2. He had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among all the children of Israel. That's quite a statement. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. This guy had good looks. He was handsome, he was tall, and in the ancient Middle East, stature, height was admired. They'd look at that and go, now that guy looks like a king. We want him. If we understand who the principal enemy is at that time, we can sort of understand their affinity toward height. Remember, the Philistines were their big enemy. And we know the Philistines had a few tall people on their side, right? Like Goliath. So they see Saul and they go, here's a tall one. Ooh, he's good looking too. Of course, he turns out to be a chicken. But he looks good. He's a good looking chicken. He had a good heritage. He had good looks. Now, he starts out very humble. And I don't know. I can't prove it. But maybe because he heard it so often. Man, you're so tall. Man, you're so good looking. You're like the best looking dude in the country. He listened to his own press. And he got that crown. And maybe, just maybe, he put it on one too many times as he stood in front of the mirror. It's like guys in the gym. There's always mirrors in gyms. And I watch as people work out. When I used to go to gyms, that people like looking at themselves when they're lifting the weights. I think Saul probably liked looking at himself with that crown on. Well, the prophet Samuel finds him and anoints him as the next king. Down in verse 21, Saul answered and said, listen to this, am I not a Benjamite? Of the smallest tribe of Israel, and my family, the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why then do you speak like this to me? Now mark well his beginning. He's a humble man. It won't last, but he's a humble man. Let's skip down to his coronation day in chapter 10, verse 20, the day that he gets the crown. When Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. And he caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families. The family of Matri was chosen, and Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Okay, where's the king? Where's the guy we're going to put this crown on? We can't find him. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further. Has the man come here yet? And the Lord answered, there he is, hidden behind the equipment. This guy had an incredible sense of inadequacy. He was not secure at all. He was embarrassed. He thought he shouldn't be the king. Now, it's amazing that you have a guy start out like this, very humble. I can't do this job. I can't be king. And turn out like he turned out. He started well. It's not a bad thing to say, look, I'm not worthy of the honor of leading God's people. Right, Paul the Apostle said, I'm less than least of all the saints. When Gideon was chosen as a judge, he said, who am I to lead God's people? I come from a small tribe, and my family is the least in my tribe. Many people started this way, and so did this king. But what's wrong? What happened? How did he play the fool? How did he end up like he ended up and play the fool and err exceedingly? Well, chapters 13, 14, and 15, which we will briefly look at before we pray, give us the answer. He played the fool by arrogance, number one, by indifference, number two, and by disobedience, number three. Chapter 13, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash, and in the mountains of Bethel, 1,000 were with Jonathan and Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. Jonathan attacked the garrisons of the Philistines that were in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. Now watch this. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. Did you get verse 3? Jonathan attacked, Saul blew the trumpet. I call this military plagiarism. He took the credit for what Jonathan had done. Why? Arrogance, pride. I'm going to blow my trumpet. I'm the king. Yeah, but you didn't do anything. You know, at least give attribution, give credit, and say, my son did this. He didn't do that. He's a very prideful person. And pride destroys whatever God builds. Pride destroys families. Pride destroys friendships. Pride destroys ministries. I had lunch with Jim Baker as soon as he got out of prison a few years back. He was such a broken man, such a humble man. And he looked me right in the eye and he said, you know what caused the downfall of my ministry with Tammy Faye and myself? My own pride. Chapter 14, he plays the fool by indifference. Let me tell you what's happening here. The army of Israel is reduced in number to only 600 men. King Saul is sitting under a tree waiting for things to happen. His son Jonathan is not a sitter. He's a fighter. So he gets up, and Jonathan says to his armor bearer, hey, it may be that the Lord will work for us. Let's go to the garrisons of the Philistines, just you and me, just two of us. Maybe the Lord will deliver the entire army of the Philistines into just our hands. It could be that the Lord will be with us, for he said, what restrains the Lord in saving with many or with few? So armor bearer goes, cool, I'm game, let's go for it. This sounds like a cool adventure. So the Lord gives the entire army of the Philistines into the hands of these two men. They're all defeated. Well, in the meantime, King Saul has given an order to his army, a stupid order. Nobody can eat anything at all until I'm avenged of my enemies. No, you can't have a single meal today, which means everybody's like so tired and famished, no energy, and they got to fight all day. And he says, whoever eats anything, the death penalty. Well, when he gave that order, Jonathan, his son, and his armor bearer buddy weren't there. So they're off fighting a battle, and they see honey in the road, and they eat it. They get energized like a Snickers bar. Watch what happens. Chapter 14, verse 43. Saul said to Jonathan, tell me what you have done. So stupid. I'll tell you what I've done. I won the battle for you, Dad. And Jonathan told him, I said, I only tasted a little honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand, so now I must die? Saul answered, God do so and more also, for you shall surely die, Jonathan. But the people said to Saul, shall Jonathan die? Who has accomplished this great deliverance in Israel? Certainly not. As the Lord lives, not one hair of his head will fall to the ground, for he has worked with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan, and he did not die. Jonathan would have killed his own son out of jealousy. He hated to see others honored. He played the fool by arrogance, played the fool by indifference. Chapter 15, and we'll close tonight. He played the fool by disobedience. Now, chapter 15, folks, is the key chapter. It's the key chapter here. Verse 1, Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people and over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way that he came up from Egypt." So he says, go out and kill the Amalekites. Now people read this and go, man, God is really like bummed out that day. He's really harsh. Why is he punishing the Amalekites? For this reason, when Moses led the children of Israel through the desert into the promised land, the Amalekites came in the rear and got the old people and the weak and sick people and killed them, ambushed them. And because they were known for their brutality and they were still living in the land, the way you deal with an aggressive cancer in a body is aggressively. Sometimes the doctor will say, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to amputate your leg. You're a mean doctor. No, actually, if I cut your leg off, you'll live. If I don't, you'll die. I got to cut this leg off. I know it's painful. I know it's aggressive, but aggressive cancer needs aggressive surgery. So, Saul, go kill the Amalekites. It was a just war. If you don't believe me, wait till you get to the book of Esther. And we read about what happens when God's people disobey him. There's a guy in that book named Haman who almost kills all the Jews, all of them. He was an Amalekite. He was an Amalekite. God knew exactly what he was doing when he said, get rid of him. Verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag, that's the king, and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good. They were unwilling to utterly destroy them. Everything despised and worthless, they utterly destroyed. Now God himself speaks to Samuel. Verse 11. I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king. He has turned his back from following me and not perform my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. What a godly man. When Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Now watch this. Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Here's a guy who has the right talk, right speech. God bless you, prophet man. I've done everything God told me to do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He had all the talk down, but it was covering up his disobedience. Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? Oh, you've obeyed everything that God told you to do. How come I still hear animals? How come they're not all killed? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. See, again, he sounds very spiritual. We want to sacrifice to God. Listen, it's not spiritual when you disobey. And Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. I like this guy. Zip it. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you as king over Israel? He gives more excuses. Down in verse 21, but the people took of the plunder, the sheep, the oxen, and the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Still making excuses. So Samuel said, verse 22, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Here's a warning to people who say, well, you know, I love the Lord. God is like my best friend. And that's a wonderful thing to say. But Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You can't be disobeying God in a lifestyle of disobedience, claiming God is your best buddy boy, your best friend, and you really love him. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He played the fool by arrogance, by indifference, and here by disobedience. God never separates the worship from the worshiper. Cain brought a worship sacrifice to the Lord, an offering. And God looked at both the offering and the one who offered it and said to him, if you do right, you'll be accepted. If you live right, I'll accept it. But I don't separate what you give and who you are. Verse 35, and we'll close. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he made Saul the king over Israel. Now you'll watch, Saul will still be in power as the king, but God will not be with him, and God will replace him. I understand this as we close. It didn't have to go that way. It didn't have to end that way. It could have ended, and they lived happily ever after. It didn't. But it was because of disobedience. F.B. Meyer gives us these words, and I'll quote and close. This is the bitterest of all, to know that suffering need not have been, that it has resulted from indiscretion and inconsistency, that it is the harvest of one's own sowing, that the vulture which feeds on the vitals is a nestling of one's own rearing. Ah, me, this is pain. No wonder Samuel mourned for Saul the rest of his life.
Perhaps you're someone who hasn't been walking closely with the Lord, or you've fallen away, or you've never walked with the Lord in the first place. Let me encourage you to make a change right now. Don't let your potential go to waste. Don't be content as a fallen star. You know, Christ can help you rise again, or even for the first time. If you'd like to talk with someone about what it means to give your life to Christ, or how you can renew that relationship, let us help you. Just call 1-800-922-1888. Or click on the Know God link at connectionradio.org. And as we end our time today, you can help people all over the world know God when you join the Global Connectors. Here's how.
Paris, the city of lights, the city of love, but a city that needs to hear about real love, the agape love of God. Paris may have a reputation of being a city for its many streets, canals, and bridges, and romantic ambiance, but only the love of Christ will satisfy our desire for true love. Help us share this good news in the streets of Paris and around the world as a member of the Global Connectors. Join today for just $25 a month. And when you do, not only will you help us share the truth about love with people all over the world, you'll also receive a free resource each month. This month, you'll receive a teaching from Michael Dente from Calvary Chapel, Paris.
In a city so known, therefore, for its immorality, its intellectualism, and its riches, it would appear that Paul only saw one solution to cure their spiritual ills, and that was to know Christ, to know Jesus Christ, and to know Him crucified.
When people think romance, they often think of Paris. But in order to truly experience love, what we need is not a trip to a city of romance, but a trip to the cross. Help us share the good news of God's love in Paris and around the world as a member of the Global Connectors. Call today, 1-800-922-1888, or visit connectionradio.org.
And if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, just call us, 1-800-922-1888, or visit that website, connectionradio.org. Each copy is available for just $6. That includes shipping. And anything you can share above that amount will help us continue to bring you these daily teachings. So order a copy today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And thank you for your support of The Connection.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Make the connection.
We'll move on in the book of 1 Samuel in our next study. We'll start covering some territory that you should be pretty familiar with. Here in The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.